Greetings. Greetings, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family. My dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family, this is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, December the 7th, 2014. That was the Itals. Smile, not to dread. Talking really about the birth process of we, the human family, especially the poor working class, oppressed masses of the people. We have to go through the birth reality, beginning in triple darkness. Nothing evil about this birth reality, but we must be born again. We must come through this birth reality. We begin in the dark melanin, dark energy, dark matter, waters, melanin of Nun, and the womb of Nonet. But that womb, after we have grown, you see, if we are taken out of the womb before time, then we have not developed properly, and we are harvested too early, and we are immature, and immature people hurt people. Immature minds conjure up plots of death to destroy people. So we must remain in the womb. Remember those words that we defined in the African Hebrew language having to do with the waters, melanin of Nun, and the womb that houses those waters, teaching us that we are in a birth reality. So, after we have been born again, coming forth from the waters of Nun, coming forth from the womb of Nonet, then we come out into the light and we emerge as pure and refined gold, because we have been transformed by the light, the field of light, the Higgs boson, the Higgs field, they call it today. The ancient said Atum, and the New Testament says Christos. And so this field of light transforms the waters into the mass matter material universe. So the Itals studied the universe and began to tell us to smile and take on the countenance or the look, the visual of the time, which is to smile, because we prevail, we are the conqueror, we are the winner. And so they talked about how Babylon don't want us to go to that city, that bright sunshiny city, where there's no need for the shining of the moon, because the sun is shining the bright white light, and it's a bright sunshiny day, and Jah is the light. And who is Jah? Jah is Christos. Jah is Yahushua. And what name teaches us of the new name of Jesus Christ, Yahushua, Messiah Christos in this time? The name of Rastafari. So I and I see Jah as the light, and Jah is the firstborn of creation, and Jah is the field of light, and that field of light was called Atum, and Atum is the first begotten of the waters of Nun and the womb of Nonet. And so we study all of this science, and we are able now to be born again and take on this new mind of Jah. New to us, the mind is new to us in this form, the mind of Jah, and we become the light. And when you check the anointing, and the anointing and the olive oil, and one of the first definitions in the New Testament concerning olive oil or oil has to do with the fuel that powers the lamps So the Holy Spirit, or the holy energy within us, is the fuel within us that causes us to shine the light onto our sisters and brothers who need the light of knowledge and wisdom to learn and understand how not to hurt and destroy people. The whole scripture is teaching us over and over again about this birth process. So when we understand this consciousness and get into the number seven, and get into the Sabbaths, and understand that these laws of man are wicked, deplorable, and illegal, and against the laws of the earth, and against the laws of the universe, and the laws of the earth and the laws of the universe are divine law. Warfare, bloodshed, slavery, exploitation, hatred, prejudice, destruction of life, denigration of a human being, devaluing of a human being. These are against the laws of the Almighty. And so if we get into the seven and understand that we must rest from our ways and understand that in the ways of the Almighty is rest for us, is peace for us, is tranquility for us, is order and oneness for us. While it's on my mind, was looking or listening to a program called Letters and Politics. And on this program, December the 2nd, 2014, Mitch Jezerich interviewed Richard Rothstein, a research associate of the Economic Policy Institute, senior fellow of the Chief Justice Earl Warren Institute on Law and Social Policy at the University of California Berkeley School of Law. He is the author of an article that I am tweeting on Twitter, paragraph by paragraph. The report, this report authored by Richard Rothstein, is titled The Making of Ferguson, Public Policies at the Root of Its Troubles. We go into this so that we may understand that we need to be born again as a society. And until we become honest with ourselves about the maladies in the system, be honest concerning the exploitation embedded in the system. This is the process we must go through to understand the system and teach the truth of the system so that we may be born again out of this system and be refined as pure gold so that we may transmigrate and transmutate as in alchemistry or alchemy. When you deal with the zodiacs, some of the zodiac signs have to do with the transmigration of the soul from the animal stage to the human stage to the spiritual stage. So we see this system is an animal system. That's why the Honorable Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King said we must save the soul of America, because the soul of America needed to be born again. And that is exactly what Dr. King said, that America must be born again. Why? Because America is immature. The institutions are headed by immature human beings who have yet to be transmutated and transmigrated out of the low animal stage into through the human stage, where you begin to feel for a human being, up into the highest stage of spiritual energy. Spirit is energy. Energy is spirit. E equals MC squared. Holy Spirit energy. At that third level, there's those three. 3 degrees in masonry. Whole lot of degrees, but they say three stages. 3 degrees in your academia. Bachelor, doctor, and another one. I forget, it's 3 degrees in your colleges. So we see these 3 degrees all over. And so we must transmutate and transmigrate America and this system and this worldwide economic system of slavery and exploitation all the way up into the spirit energy stage, the highest stage, so that we may have this peace and this cessation of exploitation. So watch this now. My Caucasian Jewish brother, Richard Rothstein, began to study, apparently, the segregation of Ferguson and how black people came to live in Ferguson and the migration of black and Caucasian. He said white, I'm saying Caucasian. And the economic condition. And it is normally said, well, you know, we don't know how it happened, or it's an anomaly, you know, or this police brutality in this situation that we're looking at, we can't put our finger on it. No. Brother Richard Rothstein said it's public policy at the root of the troubles of Ferguson and the troubles all over America, where you have black ghettos, brown ghettos, and all the suffering in the so-called urban areas and the surrounding suburbs of Caucasian. But now there's a new reality where the old downtown urban areas have been gentrified. Black folks moved out and Caucasian moved in, and then the inner ring is black, but the outer ring is Caucasian. Now, let me see if I can remember some of how Brother Richard Rothstein stated this. This is what we need to be born out of, born again from. This teaches us the condition of America to let us know we're sick, we're immature, we need to face reality so that we may be born again and transformed, transmutated, transmigrated by this field of light that the ancients called Atum, that in the New Testament is called Christos. You start with the New Deal. Oh, I'm going to try to take my time for these remaining few minutes. The New Deal. Franklin Delano Roosevelt went on TV talking about how, you know, America should be for everybody. All citizens should be able to have a living wage job. All citizens should be able to have a good home to live in. All citizens should be able to have access to health care. Older, elderly citizens should not be pushed aside, thrown away, but should be provided for. And so the New Deal was supposed to be this implementation of such ideals, ideas, and mental construct into policy, into law. But something interesting, because see, I wondered, I said, now, you know, black folk condition was terrible in the 1930s. It seems that we didn't benefit from the New Deal and the GI Bill. The GI Bill was implemented so that soldiers returning from war, World War I in those days, had those who had been in the military, whether World War I or whatever they were doing in the military by the 1930s, World War I, early 1900s. But men serving in the military all those years needed, you know, some help. So they had the GI Bill. But black folk didn't benefit from the GI Bill. So I'm saying, Franklin Roosevelt, how is it that we're excluded in this New Deal, and your words speak of all citizens and all people? Here's what happened. the Southern Democrats. They said, okay, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, you can have your New Deal, but exclude farm workers from the New Deal. Exclude domestic workers from the New Deal. Guess who were the farm workers in those days? Guess who were the domestic workers in those days? Farm workers were black men principally, but black women too. And domestic workers were black women. So the Southern Democrats wanted to exclude black people from the New Deal, but didn't want to say exclude black people, but said exclude farm workers and domestic workers. And Franklin Delano Roosevelt acquiesced and allowed that to be. That was a deal cut between those who are representing the ruling class and families. Allow the Caucasian man and woman, Caucasian veteran, to benefit from the GI Bill, the New Deal. Disallow black people from participating in such law. What does that do? That says to Caucasian people, you're better than black people, and don't say anything about the reality that you're benefiting from law and policy, and black people are not. And black people were disallowed from gaining a foothold in society, a foothold in the economy. You have wage job discrimination. Black people denied job, living wage job. And so you have policies also being implemented, according to Richard Rothstein, in which there is further separation of black from Caucasian, and you have Caucasian neighborhoods remaining Caucasian because of policies, and you have the gathering of black people into your so-called urban areas because of policies. How so? Because the Federal Housing Administration, in league with the bankers and the real estate and the mortgage institutions, embedded in their law books that Caucasian neighborhoods would by law remain Caucasian, and no builder of homes and no realtor could issue a mortgage to a black family in a so-called Caucasian neighborhood. And the Caucasian neighborhoods were subsidized. The suburban areas were subsidized by the government in league with the Federal Housing Authority, in league with the real estate mortgage institutions. And the urban areas, the downtown and urban areas, were also subsidized. And black people began to move into the downtown and urban areas. Now, how did the downtown and urban areas become so-called ghettoized? Because something peculiar, my sisters and brothers, the Caucasian neighborhoods were deemed residential areas. In the residential areas, the Caucasian neighborhoods, residential areas, the black neighborhoods were by law, policy, deemed commercial areas. What did that do? Well, in the black communities, downtown, urban areas, with commercial status came businesses such as polluting industrial type businesses. That brought pollution and destruction to the black urban downtown areas. Also, bars and gambling institutions. You wonder why Richard Pryor talks about gambling and why Richard Pryor talks about brothels and how I believe his grandmother or aunt or someone, a female in his family older, ran a brothel. And you wonder why James Brown, he was given over to a relative, she headed a brothel. You wonder why these old black books, ghetto books, talking about black ghetto life and all the gambling and the bars and the brothels and all of that. Well, it was policy. You wonder in Harlem Nights, the drinking institutions and the brothel in the black community. You wonder where that came from, because the black community was deemed, given the status of commercial. So businesses like bars and brothels and gambling places and polluting institutions, businesses came into the black community. Also, like when businesses have high-rise buildings with multiple offices, multiple spaces, and multiple businesses in those high-rise buildings, that reality was given to black people as projects. And that word is interesting because it's like a test project to see how people behave in terrible, deplorable condition. And so you have high-rise buildings, but not businesses, but multiple families in those high-rise buildings. You have a situation where black people by law can't live where Caucasian people live, so there is the great numbers of black people living in the same space and overpopulation and overcrowding. You have situations where the realtors, the mortgage institutions, refused to give black people mortgages. So we had to have something, I can't remember the word Richard Rothstein used, but I'll use the word layaway. You only could have a house on layaway, and the price was so far over the market value of the home that it forced black families to begin to sublet their homes like high-rise building, like high-rise businesses, high-rise buildings that housed multiple businesses. So we couldn't pay the rent. We couldn't pay the layaway plan. We couldn't pay the high loan, exorbitantly high loan, so lease a room to someone. And so you now have overcrowding in a particular home. All of this was policy. All of this was law. All of this was collusion between the government, the Federal Housing Authority, the real estate, mortgage and banking institutions. And so when they wanted to move Caucasian people out further from being close to downtown, they would frighten the Caucasian people, calling Caucasian people's homes, asking for black people and black names, frightening the Caucasian people into thinking that black people would move into their neighborhoods and drive the prices down, drive the value of their property and homes down, and bring crime and bring criminal reality and bring so-called ghetto reality to their communities. All of that crime, all of that so-called ghetto reality was because of the laws and the policies of the government. Municipalities, state, local, and federal institutions colluding together to create a reality. So many Caucasian families became afraid and panically would panic sell their home, and the banking institutions would take advantage of the fear that they created and lowball, purchase the home from the Caucasian family below market value, That was exploitation of Caucasian people. Can you not see that, my Caucasian sisters and brothers? And then when the black family would move into those homes, they would be given the high overpriced over the market value and couldn't get an outright mortgage loan. So the type of loan that they got was an exploitation type of loan, and the black family never could build equity. First of all, not being able to take advantage of the New Deal and the GI Bill, and your Caucasian communities and middle-class Caucasian families were able to build wealth because of equity in the homes that they were able to buy from the 1930s and 40s, and the jobs that they were able to access that were denied black people that allowed the Caucasian community to sustain those homes. But now you get to the 50s and the 60s, and Caucasian people are being frightened. And then the banking institutions, Federal Housing Authority, they would hire a black woman to walk through Caucasian neighborhoods with a baby stroller, thinking, making the Caucasian families to think, causing them to think, oh Lord, here come black folk bringing all that crime and criminal behavior and overcrowding, et cetera, et cetera. Not realizing that it is policy causing these realities. And so the Caucasian people would move from the urban downtown areas farther out into the suburbs, subsidized by the Federal Housing Authority, subsidized by the government. And now we have a dynamic where the downtown urban areas are being repopulated by the Caucasian community because the black families are being driven out because of all manner of wicked practices and are now being subsidized into the suburbs. But the outer ring of suburbs is yet Caucasian, so the inner ring of suburbs are now becoming black, and the inner, the downtown urban areas, Caucasian. And so this Ferguson dynamic, black folk went through all of that which we have described, moved around, funneled around, maneuvered around, pushed into certain areas, not able to access loans properly. And now you have a situation like Ferguson where the police and the city institutions and the prison institutions and the judges and the attorneys, the lead attorneys in those areas, they take advantage of black people by charging black people for anything and everything, like walking on the side on the off the sidewalk, any violation, just to keep them going in and out of prison, keep them in the system, keep them paying fines. This is exploitation. And all of us should understand these realities. And all of us should know that the reason why there is segregation, the reason why there is racism and exploitation in the United States of North America, the reason why there is police brutality, it all stems from policies and laws that were passed by local, state, federal government, Federal Housing Association. Many people would have loved to have lived with black people in their newly created neighborhoods, but the Federal Housing Authority wouldn't finance the building of those types of communities. Apparently, Madera, I think that's over in the San Rafael type area, Madera, Quarter Madera, Madera, according to Richard Rothstein, there was a professor, famous Caucasian professor, apparently, who, along with many families, were going to build a community. There were three or four black families among them. They were seeking grants, loans, to build this community. The Federal Housing Authority, the real estate people, the banking people, refused. Why? Because it was against law for them. It was unethical for Caucasian families to even want to live around and among black families. So that professor and those communities were forced, or those families, Caucasian families, were forced to vote as to whether or not they would love and continue to love to live next to black families. And after they say, you know what, we don't have a problem with that. The banking institutions, the real estate mortgage institutions, Federal Housing Authority refused those families the monies to build that community at that time. Today, the city is called Madera. We must wake up and realize the truth of this system and deal with the truth of this system and stop blaming poor working class people for the maladies in the system and be real and face the reality that it is because of policy. It is because of laws passed by those in government, local, state, and federal. We must be born again. Jah love, Jah bless. This is the Exodus, the movement of Jah, Rastafari, Haile Selassie I people.